Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Well, a few years ago, I found myself in a very bad place. I wasn't sleeping well. I had a really short temper with my kids. I started putting on a lot of weight. I was visibly anxious and irritable. I had what could only be classified as a perpetual tightness in my chest. I couldn't seem to shake simple mishaps or mistakes and struggles that usually wouldn't really bother me. I sought out more time alone than ever before, and I just seemed to be losing my grip on normal, everyday occurrences. And things were just getting to me far too easily. A few years prior to that, I decided to begin seeing a Christian counselor. I was struggling with some things from my past, and I thought, you know what, this is a healthy move for me. As I'm getting older, I maybe need to deal with some stuff. And so I started seeing this Christian counselor. And over time, I found that I really enjoyed the time that I have with my counselor. But there came a point where I started to dread meeting with my counselor. I knew that something was wrong. I just didn't know how to articulate it. And if I did know how to articulate it, I'm not even sure I'd want to talk about it. And so after months of sort of managing my way around this deeper issue that I knew it was going on, but I wasn't really sure what it was, I came to this breaking point. And I met with my counselor, and I told him, just flat out, I feel depressed. And then I asked him, is that even possible? Like, is it possible that I could feel depressed? And his answer shocked me. He said, yes. In fact, I have been intending to have this conversation with you for a while now. I'm glad that you brought it up. Depression in men is typically difficult to recognize. It's not so much tied to our emotions, but instead our actions. So instead of being overwhelmed by sadness or a joyless existence, men tend to pour themselves into something to cover the pain of their depression. And it could be work, it could be family, it could be a hobby, it could be something destructive like drugs or alcohol or laziness or you name it. And so I realized, like, for a long time, I was pouring myself into my work. Now, I worked reasonable hours, but work consumed me. Anybody ever experienced that before where, like, you go home and on the drive home, you're like, all you can think about is work. And you're eating dinner and all you can think about is work. And you go to bed and all you can think about is work. And you wake up in the night and all you can think about is work. That was my existence. And I was perpetually consumed by my work. It was this escape for me, you might say, for a lot of what was going on inside me. And so after a long conversation with my counselor and uncovering how this newly found depression was affecting me and how it had gone unrecognized for so long, I decided to spend the afternoon alone. So I went to Red Rock Canyon and I went on this hike, which I didn't really do very often, but I was like, what do depressed people do? They go on lonely hikes. So that's what I'll do. Funny, not funny. I had so many questions, though, for myself. And so I went on this hike, and I kept asking myself these questions, like, what happened? How in the world did I get to this place? Why didn't I see this coming? And maybe the biggest question of all is, like, now what? Like, what do I do now? Well, I want to welcome you to the last week of this series we're calling Antidote. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you heard us talk on the subject of worry and anxiety. And then last week, my wife and I shared about the topic of insecurity. And while those two things are obviously very relatable even to my life, like I worry, I stress out, and I have insecurities in life, today's message may be the most personal of all of them for me. Depression is something that I've had to deal with over the last few years. looking back over the course of my life, I can recognize periods of time where I slipped back into depression, just unrecognized. And so if you're here today and you either have struggled with this over the course of your life or you're experiencing some level of depression today, let me just flat out say to you right now, I get it. I get it. I've been there. You know, when I started asking these questions of what happened and why didn't I see a company coming and what do I do now, there was one thing that I was really glad about. And that was, at least I knew what was wrong with me. You know, there's nothing worse than like going to the doctor because something hurts and them saying, just take some of this. Take some Velociraptor stuff, right? Like, just give that a shot and see what happens. Hopefully you didn't watch the show Blossom, because apparently that's going to be really bad for you. But at least I knew, like, okay, I know what's wrong. And this is good, because for months, maybe even for a couple years, I really wondered. Yeah, I thought it was just stress or anxiety or, you know, the pressures of church work and family life. But there was something so much deeper going on inside me. At least now I knew why I couldn't seem to find joy in anything. And that was really the thing that confirmed my own depression. I just couldn't find joy in anything anymore. Things that once brought me joy and happiness, they just seemed to be dull and lifeless. Everything seemed to be a struggle in my life. Now, it's been over 3 years since all this kind of came to my awareness. And along the way, there are some things that I've learned. I've learned them both from the Bible, which we're going to get to in a minute, but I've also learned them through my experiences and conversations with other people. And they've been incredibly helpful, I have to say, in sort of overcoming some of the symptoms that come along with depression or deep sadness. And today's message is just a glimpse into my own revelations about depression and the process by which I continue to work through that, and where I see God being the antidote to our depression, my depression. Now, once I realized that I was depression, here's how I felt, which was not good because I was depressed. I felt alone. I felt really, really alone. You know, I thought, I'm the only one who's ever dealt with this. This isn't normal. I'm not like a normal person anymore. Not to mention the fact that at the time, and still today, I was a pastor. And there are just certain ideas that people have about what a pastor should be like. And a depressed pastor is not the kind of person you want to go to with your problems, or you want to listen to on a Sunday morning, encourage you and challenge you, right? There were just certain expectations, unrealistic as they might be, that came along with me being a pastor. And being a depressed pastor wasn't really, you know, the greatest thing in the world. I mean, we're supposed to be so close to God, and depression could never attack us. And then I started hearing stories of other pastors, well-known pastors, who were struggling with the same thing. In fact, one of the more well-known pastors in America held a conference a couple years ago for pastors who were struggling with depression. And I realized, whoa, yeah, maybe I'm not alone. And then I started reading these statistics that like 1 in 10 people struggle with depression, and that 80% of cases go unrecognized. Which means most people who study this, scientists who study this, psychologists who study this, they believe that between a third and one half of Americans struggle with some level of depression. That's depressing. But I didn't feel alone, right? I didn't feel alone. I wasn't alone. And then I started reading the Bible, and I was shocked, because there were all these people in the Bible, the story of God, who were depressed. I mean, guys like Moses, right? We talked about Moses last week. Moses, David, the king, the God, man after God's own heart, Elijah, the prophet, all of them at some point in their life give hint to the fact that they wish their life would end. But it was this guy, Jeremiah, who resonated with me the most. It was him that grabbed my attention the most. Jeremiah had an unfortunate nickname. His nickname was the Weeping Prophet. I don't want to go through life being called the Weeping Pastor. Like, that's not a nickname I want to gain. It was an unfortunate nickname, but it suited Jeremiah, partially because he comes off as a whiner to God sometimes, but also because he had this incredible heart to see God's people turn away from the path that they were headed down, turn around and go back to God. You see, God's people, the nation of Israel, had strayed from God. Oh man, they were off the beaten path. And so God decides, hey, Jeremiah, I want you to go to the people and tell them they need to turn around and come back to me or some really bad stuff is going to happen. Now, I have to imagine that Jeremiah, as he took on this calling from God to go and help the people of Israel to turn away from their sinful ways and head back to God, had some sort of internal struggle as he sort of became the hated voice of God's people, which he did. Jeremiah's job was no easy one. I can't imagine anyone in this room who'd be like, I'd sign up for that. I'd do that. Not a job you want to be signed up for. God's people were well off the beaten path, and nobody wanted to hear from Jeremiah. Nobody wanted to hear, you guys are wrong, God is right, if you don't turn around, some seriously bad stuff is going to happen. No one wanted to hear it. Jeremiah was hated by the people of God. And the pressure and the stress of being a prophet soon got to Jeremiah. In fact, Jeremiah wrote an entire book in the Bible that names his struggle with the pressures of being a prophet, that names his own depression with what he was going through with the nation of Israel. It's called the Book of Lamentations. It's this really small book, just squished in the middle of the Bible, right after the book of Jeremiah. And the book of Lamentations was Jeremiah's documentary, if you will, on his internal struggle with the condition of God's people and his own depression. Lamentations literally means the passionate expression of grief or sorrow, weeping. And I want to show you what I discovered from Jeremiah, okay? So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Lamentations. It's not a book in the Bible that we turn to very often, and you'll see why in a minute. It's a very small book. If you know where Jeremiah is, it's right next to it. It's to the right of Jeremiah, about right in the middle of the Bible. If you do not have a Bible, don't worry. We're going to have all the verses on the screen. You can also pick up an easy-to-read translation of the Bible if you don't have one back at the Velcro bar. We give them out for free, so make sure you grab one on your way out if you don't have one. Now, the Book of Lamentations is often neglected due to the fact that it's not the most uplifting book in the Old Testament. But, as I see it, there may be no other book more real than Lamentations. It does not beat around the bush about the struggle of life. It does not sugarcoat reality. I love that Lamentations is included in the Bible. It would have been really easy for God to be like, nah, we don't want to tell that part of life. Just leave that part out. But he doesn't. He welcomes it. These are God's words to us, right? Lament and sorrow and grief and despair and depression, they are not foreign to God. Listen, you might have walked in here thinking, like, God doesn't know me. God doesn't understand me. And I would point to the book of Lamentations and say, yeah, he does. He gets you. He gets you more than you may realize. Because all of these things are very real experiences for us. And God gets it. God gets it. So I want you to listen to Jeremiah as he tells of his struggle with stress and worry and anxiety and depression, okay? So Lamentations is going to be in chapter 3. We'll start in verse 14. And I'm not going to read all of chapter 3 because my goal is not for all of us to leave here depressed. That would be the opposite of what I hope to do today. Instead, I want to help us to take steps out of it. But we're going to read a little bit about Jeremiah wrote. Verse 14. My own people laugh at me. All day long they sing their mocking songs. He has filled me with the bitterness and given me a bitter cup of sorrow to drink. He has made me chew on gravel. He has rolled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Now, these are the words of a man who's in a pretty dark place, right? He has seen, he has heard, and he has experienced things that are leaving him grasping for his own life. The suffering and the pain that he's enduring has lured him to a place where if he wonders, is this all that there is? Is this really my life's story? Now, reading these words, when I recognize, like, I'm struggling with this issue, was really comforting for me because I realized Jeremiah is as jacked up as I am. And that's great news because I'm not alone. I feel bad for Jeremiah a little, but that's great news. I'm not alone. I recognize I'm not the only one who struggles with this issue. Even these giants of the Bible struggle with depression. They struggle with joylessness in their life. And if you're struggling with depression, you need to know. Like, you're not alone. You're not alone. Now, once I was able to simply admit that this was a reality for me, and once I recognized, like, I'm not alone in this, like, God's very own heroes in the Bible struggled with this, and that there are thousands, millions of other people just like me wrestling with this issue, I had to answer the question, how did this happen? Something happened. Something changed. And what happened? How did I get here? Well, for me and for most, depression hits because of two reasons. Now, these two reasons aren't just like, hey, Ryan came up with that. These are researched psychologists. They might label them a little bit differently, but it's true. The Bible looks at it and recognizes these as two very, the most important reasons why we fall into periods of sadness, periods of depression. And the two reasons are this: sin and circumstances. How did this happen? Sin and circumstances. It was not easy for me to admit that the vast majority of my depression was brought on by my own sinful choices. That was a reality that I did not want to face. Now, it wasn't as though I had some dark, deep secret, some hidden sin that I never talked about. Although, if that is true, it can cause this to be a problem as well. In fact, my sin was a lot more outward. I just couldn't see it. I just couldn't name it. For one, I was consumed with all the wrong things, okay? So my self-worth was tied up in what people thought of me and the work that I did at the church I was a part of. It was, as we talked about last week, my own insecurities in life. And when things didn't go exactly as planned, and when I didn't look as good as maybe I'd hope, or I didn't impress the way that I wanted to, I would realize, like, I would fall into this pit of sadness and depression, right? And it would cause me to want to strive to work harder and try to perform on an even higher level, which was just a vicious cycle for me. I had my priorities mixed up.
This then led to this unbalanced time of work. And I talked about this earlier. I would work harder. I would work longer. I would allow it to consume me. I would allow it to take over almost every moment of my life. And I would only just continue to be disappointed further because I could never live up to the expectations that I had for myself and that I thought that other people had for me. And this eventually led me to allow my pride to take over, right? Because I always believed in, like, I can take care of this. I can figure this out. If I just work harder, if I just look better, if I just make everybody like me, well, then I will be happy. Then somehow I will be filled with joy. And then eventually this vicious cycle of trying harder and working harder and trying to impress more would lead me deeper and darker into this pit of depression. And it caused me to just sort of give up on stuff. Right? Like, I was working so hard to make this work, and it wasn't working, and so then I just neglected everything else. And I stopped taking care of myself physically. I stopped taking care of myself spiritually. I just stopped taking care of myself, right? Instead of, you know, hitting the gym and exercising, like, I would just sit in front of a TV and eat nachos. That was a good Friday night during this time, or a good Monday through Thursday night, too. Instead of spending time reading the Bible and praying, I would, you know, fill it with just other stuff, watching TV, you know, reading magazines, whatever it was. And it wasn't long before my neglect of simple obedience around taking care of myself, it just took a toll on me. It left me depleted. It left me irritable. Unfortunately, depression is almost always a symptom of sinful choices and behaviors. Right? What's most difficult is recognizing this truth. Right? I didn't want to admit that my wanting to, you know, improve my performance and impress everybody around me, I didn't want to admit that that was a problem. I didn't want to admit that I needed help. I didn't want to admit that I was physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally bankrupt. But until I did, I could not climb out of this depression. Until I admitted that those things were causing a lot of what was going on in me internally, there was no escaping where I was going. Let me just say, if you're at all sinking into a state of depression, if you feel depressed, let me just encourage you today to do the hard work of looking in the mirror. It may mean you need to go home and write down what's going on in your life, right? What's maybe causing some of this depression in your own life? I had to do it. I had to sit down, and I had to consider the sin in my life that was dragging me deeper into depression. I actually had to sit and, like, voice it, which is the hardest. Like, telling you, like, this is where I suck at life is really no fun. But it was really the only step I had to take to begin to climb out of depression. But it's not only, and it's not always just sin that causes a person to fall into depression, it's also our circumstances. At the time of all of this going on, I was starting a church. And I was naive about the pressure and the toll that starting a church would take on me. I had no idea. I don't think anybody does, right? I knew it would be tough, and I knew there would be lots of uncertainty, but never like I actually experienced it. We moved here to start a church, and I remember sitting in my office. It was a desk in our loft. That was my office. And I remember thinking to myself, where are these people going to come from? Because I don't know anyone in this entire city. And these thoughts would begin to haunt me as I struggled to even know where to begin with starting this church. I met with Vince. This was like 5-6 years ago. I'd be like, what do I do next, Vince? He's like, I don't know. You tell me. The church work is challenging. It is, no doubt about it. And I have had friends who have quit being pastors just because of the demands of ministry. And for the first few years of being a pastor in my life, I wasn't sure how long I would last. Then I went about starting a church, and that was like a whole nother level of difficulty. And the truth is that our circumstances, the things that are going on around us, during this time, for me, it were difficult, and oftentimes in our life, when those things are difficult, it can lead us to places of depression. You know, Jeremiah was surrounded by circumstances that were some of the most challenging any human being could face. It was one that there were circumstances that beat the life out of him. You know, and so if you're struggling with depression, like, the first step to overcoming it is addressing these two things. Sin, what's going on in my life that is causing me to fall into this path and to fall into this rhythm of depression and joylessness, and circumstances, like, what's going on around me? Some of the uncontrollables in life that is maybe contributing to this depressive state that I'm in, right? Things happen in life. Jobs are lost. Investments go south. Cancer hits our loved ones. Friends and family die. And when these things happen, we are so susceptible to entering into depression. Especially if the sin in our lives is already moving us in that direction, like it was for me. And if we lack life's greatest foundation in Jesus. Right? So if you're struggling with this, or you feel like, man, I feel like I'm headed into a period of time, or you know someone who is, it's important to recognize the circumstances that lead us to that. What uncontrollables have impacted you in such a way that you're slowly slipping into depression? And I'm telling you, simply naming these things can be powerful. Recognizing, like, life is hard right now. I lost a loved one last year, and I just don't know what to do with that. You know, I lost that job, and man, I feel like I have lost who I am. These uncontrollables, there's no relief for them, except for when we're able to actually name them. Now, before I go any further, let me just address, maybe some of you are thinking, Ryan, this is great and all, but I don't really think I'm depressed. To which I would say, great. Like, that's a good thing. You know, again, my goal isn't to make you leave here depressed. That's not the goal. It's great that you're finding joy in life. But I would also say this, guard that. To be careful, because depression rarely hits someone quickly, right? It's caused by compounding forces, namely our sin and our circumstances, over long periods of time. It wasn't as if I woke up one morning and I was like, well, that's weird. Yesterday, I was really filled with joy, and today, I'm depressed. Like, what happened? That's not how it works, right? Depression is like the frog in the pot. You know this example? If you throw a frog in boiling hot water, they will immediately jump out of the water. But if you put a frog in a pot of cold water and you slowly increase the temperature, they will eventually cook themselves to death. Depression works very similarly. You know, if we were just thrown into like a state of depression, we'd be like, whoa, this is completely foreign to me. I am out of here. Right? But depression is like this slow heating pot around us. We don't often notice the heat is getting warmer until it's too late. So taking precautions to stay emotionally and physically and mentally and spiritually healthy is hugely critical, right? Addressing sin before it becomes an issue and naming difficult circumstances before they take over are ways that we can prevent depression from ever creeping into our life. So if you're here today and you're like, I'm not really struggling with this, listen, that's great, but guard that. Guard that. And you can guard it in the ways that I'm going to mention here in just a second. You know, over the last few years, I've learned that finding joy is not this passive activity. It is very active, right? It is proactive. There are certain things that I've learned I have to do if I want to be able to find joy and overcome my depression. right? There, and I'm just going to give you three things that I try to practice on a regular basis, just now for me to prevent this from ever happening again, and hopefully to just overall help me as I seek to live out what God is calling me to do next, all right? So here's three things that I try to just be aware of on a regular basis. So if you're struggling with depression, or if you're like, I don't ever want to be depressed, I want to guard against this, here are three things I think are really, really helpful. The first thing is this: I take care of my body, right? This wasn't always true, but I do my best to eat well, although I am a sucker for peanut butter M&Ms. I do what I can. I try to get good sleep at night. I exercise, and these things are hugely important to helping our minds and our hearts be in the right place. When I'm not eating well, when I'm not going to bed at a reasonable hour, when I'm not hitting the gym, I can almost immediately experience a change in my overall level of joy in life, right? In fact, I went through a period recently where I was having a hard time, like, just experiencing, everything just felt like a drag. And then I immediately recognized, well, let's see, last night I ate an entire large pizza, which can happen on occasion. I go to bed at 2 in the morning, and I haven't been to the gym since 2012. So things aren't going so well, right? It's amazing how these simple things that we know we ought to do can affect not just the physical part of who we are, but the emotional and mental side of who we are as well. So I take care of my body. I take care of myself physically, and it has this huge impact on how everything else comes together. Secondly, I do what I can to check in emotionally. Now, I'm a dude. I don't like to talk about my feelings and stuff, and dudes, you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't really want to talk about what's going on inside me, but I have learned that if I do not have an outlet or two, a couple of people that I can go to and say, okay, here's what's really going on. Here's really what's happening. Here's my frustrations. Here are my joys. Here are my pains. If I don't do that, I can eventually slowly slip back into that place of having a hard time finding joy in just about anything. Now, my wife is an obvious outlet for me to voice some of the things that are frustrating me or making me upset. I also have a couple of friends and a mentor in my life who I feel comfortable voicing those kinds of things with. I'm a part of a group where I feel comfortable enough to have a conversation with some of the guys in my group. And, let me just say, especially if you're a guy, you need this. You need this. You know you need this. And if we want to experience joy in the things that maybe we stopped experiencing joy in, we have to check in emotionally. We've got to find ways for us to actually have an outlet to get some of the stuff that's in our hearts, in our minds, and our, off our chest. And then lastly, and most importantly, right, I fix my attention on Jesus. Ultimately, and I've been saying this whole series, ultimately, Jesus is the antidote to all of our brokenness. Whether it's our worry or our insecurity or our depression or whatever it might be, Jesus is the antidote. He is the one who takes broken pieces of people like you and me and begins to put them back together. It's just the truth. And so nothing has been more important to me battling my own depression over the course of the last few years than staying focused on Jesus, right? It's meant spending time praying and reading the Bible on a daily basis. I know that seems like, oh man, it's so, like, I hear that all the time in church. There's a reason. There's a reason, right? It's meant staying connected to a group here at church. It's meant practicing some of the simple disciplines of obedience to God, doing the things that He has taught us to do on a regular basis, right? It also enables me to come back to the promises of God, right? Like, I think we self-teach ourselves all of these lies, and we forget many of the things that God says are true. Promises that give us hope, right? I'm reminded of that passage that we just read in Lamentations chapter 3. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if this was all there was in the Bible, like, this would be a really depressing place to come to, right? Like, there would be nothing left for us. But there are promises in the Bible that help us to remember that this is not all that there is, and that there is a God who loves us and has a plan for our lives that is good and abundant, right? So if you're struggling with any level of depression, or if you think that you're struggling with level of depression, these are just some practical ways that you could begin to guard against that or actually begin to experience freedom from it. And let me just finish by saying there is hope for us. It was something that I discovered, you know, when I was like, man, I'm alone. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm on my lonely walk at Red Rock Canyon. It was hard for me to recognize, like, there's hope for my life. But then I realized there is, right? You see, Jeremiah doesn't end this passage that we just read, this whole kind of life sucks montage that he has going on here. He ends it with hope, right? Right after the verse that I read earlier, this is what he says. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Somehow, some way, Jeremiah, as depressed as he might be because of what he's got to do and the things that are going on in his life, is able to come back to this. Despite his difficult and depressing circumstances, Jeremiah finishes this passage with a reminder that God is faithful, that God does love us, that his mercies are new every morning. Depressed or not, you and I can hold tightly to that promise. Right? There is hope. Whatever you might be facing right now, whether it's depression or worry or anxiety, or you're stressed out or the pressure of life is too much, you are not alone. You are not forgotten. You are not hopeless. There is joy to be had because God's love for you, no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've come from, God's love for you is never ending. He will never leave you. His mercies will be new every single morning. And all we have to do is simply say yes. Say yes to him. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Would you define your life as weary and heavy? Do you feel like you're carrying the burden of depression? Is life weighing you down today? If so, I cannot point you in any better direction than to Jesus. To Jesus. Ultimately, he is the antidote to all of our brokenness, including depression. Whatever you might be facing today, Jesus is the antidote to your brokenness. My hope for you is that you'll say yes to him, that you'll hear those words like, if you're carrying heavy burdens, come to me, Jesus said, and you'll say, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. That's my greatest hope for you. I can tell you this. Over the last 3 years, it's been a struggle. It wasn't like I woke up one day and went, oh, it's all gone. But I can tell you that today, I experience and find joy in more things than I ever have before in my whole life. And it's not because, man, I work out every day, although that helps. And it's not because I check in with my wife and my mentor every week or so, but that helps. Ultimately, it's because I fixed my attention on Jesus. It's because I said yes to Jesus, and I went to him, and he has given me rest. If you're here today and you're carrying that burden, that heavy burden of depression, say yes to Jesus. He is the antidote to all of our brokenness. I'm going to give all of us a minute to think about that and consider some of what we've heard this morning. During this time, the band's going to play a song. There's communion around the room at the candlelit tables. You're welcome to take that as you feel led to do that. And just to consider where maybe you are today. What maybe is a next step for you? Is there something that's going on in life where you're like, "Hi, man, this is really causing some problems"? Are there circumstances surrounding your life right now where you recognize, like, "This is a problem. I need to figure this out"? If so, to maybe think about what's my next step. But before that happens, I'm going to pray. So if you would, God, thank you for your grace. Oh, we're so broken and needing you. I pray that wherever we might be today, that you would help us to consistently and constantly experience and find joy in you and in the life that you've crafted for us. That depression wouldn't be something that would get the best of us. And if there are people who are in that place today, God, that you would help them to take steps out of that, right? That you would help them to begin to experience joy in their life again. And for those who maybe aren't there, God, that you would help them to guard against that. That they would always see that your mercies are fresh every morning, that there is new opportunity for new life each day. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.